views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Welcome to Conscious Confidence Radio, a timeless wisdom with Sarah Main. Balo hosts Sarah Main on her ongoing journey of conscious confidence and gain timeless wisdom to unleash unparalleled confidence. A conscious confidence. Learn to ignite the living spark of wisdom, a new narrative for fulfillment contained in Sanskrit and the ancient, powerful, engaging, and fun conscious conversations to discover your own magnificent true self. Learn to dispel the fear shadow as Sarah provides essential knowledge about embracing change and the power of transformation. Get ready. Conscious confidence starts now.
Hey, everyone. Welcome. 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 Welcome to Conscious Confidence Radio, a timeless wisdom with Sarah Main and me, Dr. Pat. You know, today I'm really thrilled and I'm honored that I get to connect again with my friend and colleague, someone who is such an inspiration, but an inspiration in so many ways for so many reasons. One of the things that I must say, though, is the journey that I've gotten to be part of, the journey which belongs to Sarah Main, is a journey of awakening. And it's a journey that not only taps in to the unbelievable, limitless consciousness that each and every one of us has, but, you know, sometimes we hear others talk about this. If we are fortunate enough, we get to participate in being witness to what that actually is about. Sarah, of course, she has created an incredible opportunity, a phenomenal option for those of you out there that are thinking, what do I want to know? Who do I want to become? And what that's called is conscious confidence. It is a timeless wisdom. And today you're going to hear about what it is when you get tapped to bring something forward and you say yes to it. What happens to your life? How does the journey unfold? And then how do you get to be at the place that Sarah is today? Sarah, it's so wonderful to be with you today, to be witness to your journey and what you've been able to accomplish.
Oh, thank you, Pat. Thank you for the introduction. It's interesting to hear it being spoken by someone else because I'm on the inside, so to speak, of it. But that's wonderful. Thank you. It's wonderful to be back with you.
You know, please let folks know how they can find out more about Conscious Confidence, about your coaching program, and about a lot of what we're talking about today.
ConsciousConfidence.com at my website. And also on the website is a free giveaway, which is a two-video series, which is Create or Design Your Own Alignment Guide, because alignment or balance is one of the key elements or chapters in the book, and it's based on the Sanskrit concept of balance. But it's a practical method, and it's a two-video series working with me, and you'll get that free. You opt in and download, and you'll be able to work with me and design your own alignment guide. And that's aligning and balancing the physical body, the mental body, the emotional body and the spiritual body, the whole person, body, mind, heart and spirit. Because that's where we find conscious confidence, is in that alignment. And it's very simple and very practical, but you just need the wisdom, you need the knowledge.
Many people don't know where you've been, what you've been doing. but I must say that, you know, those of us here at the show, we know what you said yes to 18 months or so ago. We know what you did. And we also know and are part of to what the universe, what is being called forth by you to share with the world. And so here you are being called to write a book. How has that changed you? You know, what is it about you that had to be revealed, awakened, whatever the language is? What is it about you that had to show up, in essence, pretty much using your Fuse program?
Yeah, I had to take my own good advice, I can tell you. And it was advice that was unfolding as the process went by. Honestly, truth be told, I never really saw myself writing a book. I thought that's what other people did. Certainly my husband, he seems to be prolific. I hadn't ruled it out, but, you know, I honestly never thought it would happen. And then through starting the show with you, and then one thing led to another, and you said to me, you know, there's a book in this. And there was a certain gulp in the pit of my stomach when I thought, okay, well, you know, I'm at this point by continuing to say yes. And I think that's probably an expression of some kind of connection with the fact of we are limitless consciousness, is that of just saying yes and then figuring out how afterwards. That shows itself. In a sense, that's the easy bit. It's just saying yes is the important bit. And I had always been taught by my teachers that you are limitless consciousness. Of course, there's responsibility and all those good things about giving expression to that. But the fact is, your nature is limitless consciousness. So when an opportunity like writing a book or doing this show comes up, from the substrate and from the backdrop of limitless consciousness, of course you say yes, because the only reason you'd say no is because you think you're limited and you can't do it. But then to say yes, you meet all these things in yourself that, you know, they're sort of suppressed material that you realise places, or I realise places a limit. And at each point it was getting out of the way. And that's, you know, it's a process. Sometimes relatively easy, and other times it was a bit of a process, not always comfortable. But just persevering, persisting, it's unfolded from there. And one thing's led to another, and where I've been, I feel like I've been in some sort of creative cave for the last six months or so, writing this book. I mean, I had the idea of how it would go, but then the actual process of giving expression to that and learning about the craft of writing, I mean, that's a work in progress. But to actually write a book and get, you know, from, you know, once upon a time to the end, as it were, that's a process, and I've had to learn. And fortunately, I've had some good support. My husband is an author, and he was a great aid insofar as he said the best way to get good at writing books is to write. He said the only way you'll learn to write is to write. You know, just write. And he sort of sometimes he get you know keep me at it and get me going again. That's the big picture, but it has been a wonderful journey, not always comfortable, but I was excited to be on the journey.
You know, I want to ask you this, because what you're writing about is conscious confidence.
Yeah.
You know, you're writing about, you know, as we've talked about previously, awakening to limitless consciousness, but, you know, we're also talking about a wisdom of Sanskrit. To find clarity, to find success. And we're talking about the way you live your life now being, how should we say, translated, transferred, awakened to a new format in the way of a book. And, you know, the question I think that comes to mind always for me is, because I get this question a lot about the radio show, is how has writing the book changed you? You know, what was it about saying yes to this, right? I'm not sure that you could have actually said no, but what was it about saying yes to this where you had to face yourself? For example, when I said yes to the radio, I had to face parts of myself that actually I didn't even know existed and still do. Did you have any of that of self-discovery in the process?
Oh, definitely. Yeah, How to answer that question succinctly. How long have you got?
We got plenty of time. Go for it.
Yeah, good. Okay. Yeah. To start, look, write the book. I got the concept of how I wanted to structure the book and the chapters. You know, that sort of all presented itself fairly quickly. But then to actually give expression one sentence after the other, I found I really had to keep coming back to the very experience and awareness of myself as limitless consciousness. I had to keep coming back to that presence again and again and again. Otherwise, what I was writing was being translated through a whole set of ideas, often limited. You know, I can't say that, I shouldn't say that, can I say this, how do I say that? You know, just all, you know, an absolute plethora of things. And to just fall still and come back into the present and then be at the point of the particular topic I was writing about and let that expression come through, that was an exercise in coming back again and again, and it was an exercise in conscious confidence, because conscious confidence is a confidence and a way of proceeding and living and being derived directly from a deep connection with yourself. So therefore, it's not moved by external appearances. So therefore, if I wasn't happy with what was on the screen when I typed, rather than think, oh, this is wrong, I don't, you know, whatever, some sort of personal criticism or whatever, is to come back to that presence again and again and again, and then just let the iterative process of writing take place. And I think that's one of the lessons I learned, was just that patience and confidence in the present moment, in the consciousness itself, to allow the unfolding and the writing. It's not like you just write this perfect book like you see in the movies where the author's sitting at their you know, their typewriter, their old Remington typewriter, typing, and then they put the end and they, you know, pull the piece of paper off and hand it to a publisher. It just doesn't work like that. It's this iterative process as it's moulded. And to just go on that journey and meet whatever it is, like impatience and, you know, self-criticism or anything like that, just to meet it and let it go and come back to the confidence in the present moment, took all the elements of the FUSE program. It took focusing, it took uniting, it took simplifying, it took energizing. And I had to stay focused in, also stay rooted in the why, the WHY, why I was writing the book, the values of the basis of the values of the book and my attitude the whole time. The whole six elements of the FUSE program I was using all the time, sometimes consciously and sometimes unconsciously, but they were there definitely.
You know, I'm really struck by it because, you know, part of this is really looking at all the work that you did, all of the creativity that went into this before the idea of writing a book became reality, so to speak, right? Mm-hmm. But then it shows up and there's almost like this next phase of it, the next phase of evolution of conscious confidence is now, how does this then come forward so it can be presented to the world? And I think that really is so important to talk about because it so mimics what we do in every day of our lives when we're faced with a task or something that is being called to be brought forth. Yet, we don't have this timeless wisdom that we can count on. Of course, when the book is published, we will, right? Or when it gets released, we will. But when you talk about the FUSE program, we're talking about having sort of a blueprint that we could follow.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah. And yeah. And that's what's come out of the book writing process.
Yeah. Oh, I want to ask you this. Let's go ahead and skip the break because I want to talk about this. When we think about writing a book, I think about the discipline that's involved with it. Of course, you have a great support system, right? Yeah. Of course, this is something you're passionate about. But what was it that's part of this that you found yourself saying, I've got to create a structure in this. Mm. I've got to create some way to get it done so yeah. that I could get from where I am today to where I want to go. The reason I bring it up, Sarah, is because what I think you're about to share, and also with the publication of the book, is the missing piece for us. We have an idea of where we are and where we want to go, but the rest of it's like a big blur. How did you figure that part out?
Yeah, that's a very good question. There's a funny cartoon about that, which I'll tell you later. there's several parts to it. I had an idea of how to structure it, and that came quickly. And look, I was a teacher for 30 years in classroom teaching, school teacher, and delivering information in a staged way, you know, that's part of your wheelhouse, getting a unit of work and it's going to cover 10 lessons and how to break it up and so on and so forth. That side of things I've got skills in, which is, you know, to this day I'm still very grateful for. So I employed that, but the actual discipline, and you know, my husband said, you just have to write, and you have to write every day, and you have to write something every day, and you have to be prepared to write rubbish every day. You know, write some garbage. You just got to write. You've actually got to give expression. He said, that's what authors do. And, you know, that's great because that's a practical way forward, but it's also a bit scary because you have to basically be prepared to write rubbish and then rewrite it rather than I'm going to write the perfect thing, right?
Yeah.
So I've had to find what was best, and what I found was I had to have be disciplined enough to get to bed on time because that meant I would wake up early. And I woke up early, and I'm talking 5:30, 6 o'clock, and then I could meditate and feel quiet and still. And then that magic time in the morning, I got the best writing done. I was just clear and it flowed, and I felt in communion, in communication with that consciousness directly. It was definitely different at different times of the day. So I really honoured that morning period. I couldn't always make it, but I did mostly. And even when we were away in October last year, it was 11 o'clock at night, it was midnight, and I'd be sitting on the bed in the hotel room with my laptop, and I still made sure I wrote half a page, three paragraphs. I wrote something every day just to keep connection with that creative energy. So that was a great lesson to me, that the best way to get good at writing is to write. Who knew?
Yeah.
You know.
Boy, you said something so important. Yeah. I want to stay with it for a minute.
Sure.
Boy, I just got to talk to you about it because I don't want folks to miss this. And I hope I'm going to get it correctly. You have to be willing to sit down some days and write rubbish. Did you say that?
Yeah. Yes.
Because that is so important. I hadn't really thought about it until you said it. But I find that too in what I do every day, because I do this every day, and I've been doing it for 15 years every day. And I didn't quite think about it like that. But kind of what you're saying is you have to be willing to simply show up no matter how you're showing up.
Yeah.
You know, someday it might be streams of brilliance. Other days it may be like garbage piling up in New York City streets. But none of that really matters, so to speak, outside of being willing to show up. Right?
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. I mean, actually, thank you for reflecting that back. The streams of brilliance. Yeah, I think there might have been one or two days a little glimmer of that. But yeah, it's just regardless of what it is that showing up, is getting out of the way and showing up. The meditations definitely was a blessing. It is a blessing, of course. And just also where there was a gap, like the chapters are structured with stories, teaching stories and contemporary accounts from real people that that I've worked with in my coaching work and teaching work. You know, all of those pieces started falling into place. And it was interesting where there was one of the chapters and I didn't have a story that I was particularly happy with, or I hadn't quite found one that was just right. I learnt just to leave it and just leave the space. And, you know, within a very short space of time, could be minutes, hours, a day, boom, it would appear, I would hear something, it would be provided. And I began to realize early on that the consciousness was providing exactly what was needed. But I had to show up and be in tune and awake and aware, and then whatever was needed was provided. And if something wasn't clear when I was writing, I learned, and this wasn't always easy because, you know, you get in there and you want to be able to get it sorted out and fixed up. I had to just wait and just leave it and do something else, write some other part or just leave it, and then the way forward would resolve itself. You know, and that again was another form of discipline.
Well, I want to ask you, did you have, so for me, the thought of having a, quote, routine where I do some things the same way every day, you know, it's not as unrealistic as people think. I mean, people think about me and my personality and they think, oh, it would be hard to imagine her. But I drink my coffee out of the same cup every day. I'm sorry. Call it superstition. I don't know what you want to call it. But I do. I use the same cup every day. I don't know why. But is the process of writing too, like coming up with the chapters and how things unfold in the book, did you have a specific approach for that?
Yes and no.
Yeah, there we go. See, I knew that was going to be the answer.
Yes, insofar as what I described to you about realizing that the absolute golden time was and precious time was in the morning and meditating and so on. But not every day that was possible. But there was a certain chunk for several months where I did stick to that pretty much every day. I wrote for 2 or 3 hours at that time, and I got a vast amount of the book written in that time.
Wow.
The first draft. Then there were times where I just had to get away, you know, I had to just sort of, and I felt that, like I just had to go somewhere else and, you know, I don't know, sit outside or just sit somewhere else. So I'd move to a different part of the house or I'd go out. Like I say, when we were traveling last year for 3 weeks, every night, regardless, didn't matter how tired I was, sometimes it was 1 a.m., I sat up on the bed with my laptop and wrote something, 2 or 3 sentences, just to keep the discipline going. So there was, you know, there was a routine and then there wasn't a routine. I had to also honour that feeling in myself when I just didn't, you know, I just wanted to do something else.
It was a balance. Look, I get it. And that's why I'm asking you the question, because what you did, I think about you often, and I've said this to you a lot. You know, you have sort of gone against all of the logical, rational guidelines that people, whoever those people are, that set in motion, right? For folks that have an idea, build the idea from birth, so to speak, build what the idea is about, even if it is based on ancient timeless wisdom. Build the idea, bring it forth, and then out of all of that, it almost as if it takes on a life of its own. And the next thing we have is we have a book idea, a group of people around you wanting to publish the book, and then we have the actual writing of the book. And if people knew the time frame by which we're talking about, with Conscious Confidence Beginning and what we're talking about today, most people would say to you, impossible. But see, that's because most people aren't using the timeless wisdom we're talking about.
Yeah, that's right. You actually have to use it, follow the method and follow the wisdom. And the thing is, using Sanskrit, it was incredible, because when I felt myself running dry, I just went back to all my Sanskrit notes and research, and I just reconnected right back with ground zero again. And honestly, it just re-inspired me again and again and again. And if something wasn't clear, I went back to the Sanskrit and just said, what is this saying? What do I want to say? And that in itself was a big step for me, because my agent had said to me, the publishers want you are the author, it's your voice, you have to write this book. And frankly, no one had really ever said that to me before in those words. And, you know, and so here I was with this opportunity in front of me. I think, all right, well, what do I want to say? And to come back right to what the Sanskrit's saying, and then the next thing would appear. And to honour that, trust that, it was deeper and deeper trust and into conscious confidence, which is what it's all about, this deep, deep connection and trust and awareness and confidence in yourself. And then you can do anything. You are limitless. Mm. You know, and I can say that now from another perspective, having written the book, it's still unfolding, but I do feel in a different space altogether, in a different energy.
Well, you know, and this is what I want to talk about when we come back from break, because one of the things I want to talk about is there's a process that the outer world wants us to have. You know, there's a process, right? I was joking with someone on a call earlier today, and I said, you know, the good news, I have four planets in Sagittarius. The bad news is I have four planets in Sagittarius. And so what I'm saying by that is, it doesn't matter, good, bad, or indifferent. There's a part of knowing who we are in ourselves and what it is we're called to do when we're called to do it that allows us to be the vessel for whatever it is that's supposed to come through us, through you, right? Yeah. When we come back, I want to talk about that, because my question for you, Sarah, is, and I went through this myself in radio, you know, early on, a couple years into this, basically was told, listen, and this is the way it was said to me. Listen, honey, that is the way it was said to me. Listen, honey. Yeah, I know you're laughing because you don't see me like as a honey, right? But it was like, listen, honey, nobody's going to listen to positive talk or you for 15 minutes, let alone for any amount of time. And I remember hearing that and having a moment of what you just described. I want to talk with you about that when we come back. When we are faced with the outside world, maybe saying to you, you know, that conscious confidence, that doesn't sound very good. That's not going to look good on a book cover. Whatever that is, when you're faced with something externally that someone is saying, where do you find that within you to be true to who you are? Sarah Main, Conscious Confidence, it is a timeless wisdom. We are joining Sarah today on the journey of something so exciting, so beautiful, so evolving, the writing of this fabulous book that all of you are going to get to experience here. Don't know the date, but I'll let her tell you that. When we come back, how do you stay true to yourself in the middle of a process? A publishing process, a radio process, a going to school process, whatever the process is, how do you do it the conscious confidence way? We'll be right back.
Angels and animals are always working for and around us. Darcy Pariso knew from an early age she felt this incredible presence that was confirmed for her in a Reiki Level 1 course. From then on, she has honed her skills and dedicated her talents to providing answers, inspiration, and tools for people to move past limiting blocks and past traumas to truly live a life of happiness. For more information about working with Darcy, visit darcypariso.com.
It's time to get your life back on Burn Bright Today with Jennifer Marcinelli. Tune in each month on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Learn to move from the darkness of burning out to the light of Burning Bright. Jennifer is redefining stress and the energetic causes of burnout, shining a light on process to get your life back. For more information about Jennifer and her work, visit burnbrighttoday.com.
What the fung do I do with my shway? Are you ready to hear what your space is about you and what you're communicating to the outer world about your inner dialogue? Are you ready to create harmony in your surroundings? Then join us on Clear Speak Talk Radio with Dr. Jeanette Wolf on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Tune in every fourth Friday at 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 p.m. Eastern for current IT integrated with ancient knowledge to boost the broadcast of your space. Visit JeanetteWolf.com for more information on this amazing approach.
Welcome back. Welcome back. What an exciting journey. This is Conscious Confidence Radio, a timeless wisdom. Sarah Main is a host of the show, and I get to journey with her once in a while to share in what is being revealed, what is unfolding. You know, right now we're talking about you are limitless consciousness. And we're talking about how writing Sarah's first book allowed her to communicate this ancient wisdom as well as experience it. Sarah, let's take a moment if we could. Please let folks know how they can find out more about Conscious Confidence, about your coaching program, and about a lot of what we're talking about today.
You can go to my website, which is consciousconfidence.com. That's consciousconfidence.com. There's a lot of information there. There's ways to get in touch with me there, email and Skype phone number and various ways, but consciousconfidence.com at my website. And also on the website is a free giveaway, which is a two-video series, which is Create or Design Your Own Alignment Guide, because alignment or balance is one of the key elements or chapters in the book. And it's based on the Sanskrit concept of balance. But it's a practical method, and it's a two-video series working with me, and you'll get that free. You opt in and download, and you'll be able to work with me and design your own alignment guide. And that's aligning and balancing the physical body, the mental body, the emotional body, and the spiritual body, the whole person, body, mind, heart, and spirit. Because that's where we find conscious confidence, is in that alignment. And it's very simple and very practical, but you just need the wisdom, you need the knowledge. And proper knowledge, true knowledge, is simple and practical. If we think it's complicated and beyond us, then it's not true knowledge.
What I love about this is, first of all, I'm so thrilled for you. I am thrilled that the world is going to get to know what I know a little bit, teeny bit about the work that you do and what you're bringing forward. And we already know that in today's world, we're looking for something to help us in the lives that we're living. We're really looking for something, but we're not looking for that new fandangled thing. You know, we're looking for getting back to a sense of who we are. And I want to really touch upon something you said before we went to break. And it's about trust. It's this idea that here you are, you're writing the book, you're part of a publishing process, you're not the only one that's going to have an opinion, right? I mean, that was a decision I had to make something like 13 years ago or so when a company wanted to pick up the show. And I couldn't imagine changing my format to yelling and screaming at somebody. So I said, no. The people around me thought I was crazy, but I didn't. Yeah. What was the publishing process like for you? The support that you've gotten, the editing process. Oh my gosh, I think about editing. What was all of that like for you? And what really true to nature kinds of things in the writing, the Sanskrit writing, that was so special?
The publishing process and the support has been wonderful. The publishers and my agent have been absolutely marvelous and at every stage totally respectful of me as the author and of what I've written. Just completely respectful and keen to receive what I've written. And I found that trust that they placed in me then brought into the spotlight the trust that I needed to place in myself and in the consciousness to bring forward what there was to be written. So it was a continuous flow of trust, because at no stage did I encounter any doubt or questioning of what I had written from any of the people I was working with. So therefore, I needed to bring the same trust to what was coming forward in myself rather than meet it with doubt or questioning in that sense. So that's in the first instance with the publishing process and the people I've been working with and I'm still working with. The editing process was very interesting. It's 50% of the process. You write this book, and I use air quotes there. You write this book, which is your first draft, and then I went through that three or four times in detail. Because that's when, it's like putting a cake together. You have all the ingredients sitting on the bench. You stick it in the bowl and stir it around. Well, that's not the cake. That's a bowl of ingredients, and then it's got to be put in the tin and it's got to be cooked and all that sort of stuff. And then the process, and it's not that what you've initially written is wrong. It's just it's the first expression of it.
Right.
And written expression is different from spoken expression. Now, what we're doing now is different from actual written expression. And, I was a teacher for 30 years and I think I probably said that to students. But to actually experience it from the inside, as it were, and writing a book was a different level of experience of translating that theory into experience.
Yeah.
And so then the editing process of going through it myself to the point where I was happy to send it to an editor, where I thought, well, this is the best I can do and it needs to go to a fresh pair of eyes. And so I had been given a first round edit. And then that was absolutely marvellous, because a completely impartial fresh pair of eyes who didn't know me, didn't know my work, read through the book, again, completely respectful, enthusiastic, enjoyed the book, and then gave all sorts of really excellent suggestions. Of course, I'm the ultimate authority of whether they get accepted or not. But just suggestions in terms of linkages where, I jumped from one idea to another and maybe something to help the reader, like another little signpost. Just a question, can you clarify that point? Can you give an example? Little things like that all the way through. And in some cases, part of me thought, oh, God, I don't want to have to do that. only because in responding to some of those questions, part of me had done with the creative part of writing the book. I finished with that. And those questions I basically had to go back to the creative point that I was writing that point. I had to go back there, and it wasn't always comfortable because I didn't want to, you know, because it's a different type of thinking. And I had to just stop, fall still. Sometimes I went back to the Sanskrit, just fall still and said, what do I want to say? And then another deeper thing would come out.
Yeah.
So the gold would be there if I sort of did the difficult, as it were. And, you know, so then that next draft of the book, and, you know, look, it was still the book, but just, you know, it's like bringing a sculpture out of a lump of marble. As each refining process, the angels coming out of the marble, as Michelangelo described it. Well, I'm quoting myself with Michelangelo.
No, but I understand completely what you're saying.
And then I went through that draft was a detailed draft, and that took a good 3 weeks to a month of detailed work. I realised, like, I just wanted to get it done, but I had to know, I had to go back and back and back. And then I think I went through it another time and sat around the editor, who just made a few minor suggestions in terms of and, you know, technical things, and then it's gone to the publisher now and it's going through a fine edit and they're doing the typesetting and everything now. So, yeah. I mean, it really, patience and a deepening of what I'd already written, and that was a completely different experience from the initial creation.
Yeah. You know what I'm really struck by, and I really reflecting upon this and I wanted to ask you about it, is, you know, you write this thing gets written, right? You're writing Conscious Confidence, you're writing about it, and you're spending, you know, emotionally, spiritually, mentally, there's time that's going in it. And I remember the first time I submitted, you know, a large body of work for editing, right? And I got it back. And I remember my first experience at looking at all the edits, right? I couldn't fathom it. It was so much. And what I had to do was do what you just described. One, I had to trust that everything that was being suggested to me was a mutually beneficial collaborative process.
Yeah.
And there's something that happened that you said, and I want to talk about it because it's a reflection of life. If you take a piece of it, let's say, I don't know, maybe there's a chapter that you focus on, and you're looking at the edits from another person's perspective, it does drive you deeper, not just into the content, but did you find, Sarah, that it drove you deeper into yourself?
Absolutely. 100%. That was really the point. To go any further, I couldn't just stay at the point. I had to say, you know, because I'd written this stuff, and I think, and they're asking for further clarification, and not a lot. They didn't want me to rewrite the whole chapter. I didn't get any of that. But to even, but there were some sections where I restructured things because their question smoked out the fact that, you know, there was a fundamental lack of clarity in that paragraph, and or suddenly I just realised a better way of expressing it or restructuring it. And at each time, you know, I had to go deeper into myself to access that. And that, it's strange that bit was not always comfortable, to be honest with you. And it was hard to see what the discomfort was about. I just, you know, I wish someone had said, look, leave it to me, I'll deal with it. You know, it was that kind of thing. But I knew, you know, I'm the author of the book. There was no one else I could hand it to. And there was no one else I should hand it to. It was my responsibility to actually address this. And I found gold coming out of that. And I found a deepening of the material in myself. So I wasn't, you know, now when I talk about Conscious Confidence and the material I've brought forth over this whole process since 2016, is it's within myself, You know, it becomes naturalized as part of yourself. And that's different from talking about something separate from yourself. Mm-hmm. And it is an expression of this consciousness. You know, and even the beginning part of the book where I wrote the introduction, and there I am faced with the you know, blank screen, the proverbial blank piece of paper that an author faces, where you've got to start at the beginning, you know, right. And a story writer would say once upon a time. Well, yeah. I didn't have the luxury of that, you know, and I felt still, I thought, right, what am I going to write as an opening sentence? What is the sound, the founding sound, the do of the octave of this book? And I just went back, immediately I asked myself that question. I went back to what my teacher always did, which was always start. He said, always start in the absolute. Start with limitless consciousness. That's the truth. You start from the truth. So that's where I started. And then from there, the whole thing flowed.
Wow. I want to ask you this because, you know, as we move forward, and we're going to go ahead and skip the break, as we move forward, what is it, or who is it that Sarah Main now becomes as we move forward, right? You know, there's one thing, people say writing a book, but there's a process of change. There's also a process of inspiration. There's also a process of activation, meaning activating parts of you to come out in the world differently. You know, can you talk about how you see yourself now in that?
Look, it's a great question. There's so many things I just didn't expect. And it's like anything, and until you've actually gone through the process, you can't anticipate what that's like. But within myself, there's a clarity and a confidence, and it's a quiet confidence. I don't care what anyone else says. I know this stuff works. I knew it before, but I know it in another way now. And even what I knew before wasn't exactly theory, but now I just know it directly from the inside out. I know I can teach it to anyone. I could get up and teach it to 1,000 people. I could talk to you. I could coach a group. I am a coach, so I can coach an individual person. I can mentor someone. I can coach a group. I can run workshops. It's now all my teaching experience combined with this knowledge and experience of this material. I could basically walk in without any notes. It's within me. I mean, I probably would have some notes, but, you know, it's that sort of confidence. Because as a teacher for many years, the best lessons are where you just walk in and the material is so within you that you can teach, you can go in any direction with students depending on what they want to know and where they are, rather than have a script that you've got to follow. And the knowledge is deeper within me because of this process. And I didn't really expect it to be like that, but it's there and it's wonderful and that's exciting. I feel ready. I also didn't expect to just have all these sort of limits just fall away, you know, and it's not like I have to battle them anymore. I'm just here and this has come forward in me and I'm ready to present it and offer it. And it works, and it's a connection with timeless wisdom in a simple and practical way and an enjoyable way. You know, there's stories, there's all sorts of great things in there that you only need one little bit of it and it'll work for you. You said to me a while ago that each point of the FUSE program and conscious confidence is completely self-actualizing in itself. You don't even need the whole program. You need one element of it. And I can really see that now, that each part of it contains the whole. And you just need to find the one part of the whole program that inspires you, that you connect with, and you'll get the whole thing. It's like a proton pill. So there were things like that I just didn't expect. Whenever I've told anyone, and I haven't spoken a lot about what I've been doing because that was part of the creative process.
What a little technical thing here. I'm really struck by is how beautifully this all comes together. The other thing I'm really struck by is something that I've said to you many times, and that is, people are so drawn to ancient Sanskrit, even if they don't know what it is.
Yeah.
Right? I know it. right? We've talked about that. We see it in tattoos. We see it in markers. We see it in book cover, right? We see it.
Coffee mugs.
Coffee mugs, yes, even if it's not written correctly. And I wanted just to talk with you about that. I know we've got a few minutes left. Part of this is a spirit of gratitude. Part of this is a spirit of just embodying the full depth and breadth of this. And every show, you close with a mantra. And, you know, I want to talk with you about today's mantra, because what I'm struck by with it is the language of illumination, of self-illumination, the language of allowing ourselves, right, to be the inner light. How important is that to the conscious confidence message and the mantra you're sharing with us today?
Well, it's essential. And in a sense, just on what you said, to be the inner light, you are already it. This is who you are. You've never not been it. You will always be the inner light. There is nothing else to be. It just gets covered over like clouds coming over the sun. The sun's ever shining, and on cloudy days it seems like the sun isn't there because the clouds have come over. And all these limits that we carry within ourselves are sort of suppressed in this subconscious, and we just don't look at them. They're operating like the clouds, and they give us this sense, this impression that we are limited, and in fact we're not. Mm-hmm. And conscious confidence is getting back to who we really are, mm-hmm. this limitless source of potential, of magnificence, mm-hmm. of consciousness. Mm-hmm. And these mantras are just a timeless reminder of that.
I want to thank you for today. And as usual, please share today's mantra. Thank you for the show. What a great way to end the conversation. Thank you, Sarah.
Thank you. I'll just read the English first. I'm going to recite for you the Gayatri Mantra, which is a timeless wisdom par excellence. It's absolutely ancient. And one translation into English is this: Body of all, mind of all, spirit of all, may we meditate on the radiance of the inner light. May that self illuminate our thoughts. Peace, peace, peace. And in Sanskrit, Om Bhur Bhuvah Suah Tat Savitur Varenyam Bhargo Devasya Dhimahi Yo Yo Na Prachodayat. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.
Thank you, Sarah. Sarah Maine, everyone.
Thank you.
More to come from Sarah, everyone. Please visit consciousconfidence.com. Thank you for tuning in, and please take to heart what you heard today. Please take this to heart, you know, the body of all, the mind of all, the spirit of all. Thank you all. We'll see you next time.
Thank you for listening to Conscious Confidence with Sarah Maine. Join us next month on Transformation Talk Radio for more timeless wisdom with Sarah's exciting and innovative approach to living. Discover more joy, freedom, and step into your limitless potential. For more information on Sarah Maine and her work, or to listen to past shows, visit sarahmaine.com.